And in the news, the GOP presidential process gets even uglier. Bernie Sanders surprised Hillary Clinton in Michigan last week and could do it again today in Ohio. Vladimir Putin surprised even his allies by announcing a pullout in Syria. And the mystery of the week, a Russian nuclear missile submarine pops off the coast of France. Just a few of the issues moving through the mind of news analyst Neil Conan. He joins us now from his Big Island Macnut Farm, as he does most Tuesdays. Neil, good morning. Is this another Super Tuesday?
Good morning, Beth. I think there's a moment every 4 years when if you could call a snap referendum to reform the presidential nomination process, it would pass unanimously. I think today's the day.
So what, it's sort of a day of a national primary, something like that?
Well, definitely something shorter. And, I was about to say something sweeter. I want to put that in context. You know, all those cliches we use, those, rough, tough, analogies, bare-knuckle politics or politics as a contact sport or, politics ain't beanbag. Those are cliches because there's truth there. But this year it's starting to get scary with the violence around Donald Trump rallies.
And violence that the candidate himself seems to be whipping up.
That's the scary part. It's one thing to, fling open the window and shout, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's a famous line from the movie Network. Yes, we remember that one.
That's right. And what I mean to say by that is, it's okay to campaign as a populist and channel voters' anger and, we're not getting a fair shake and the system is rigged. That's practically all American. That sounds a lot like the Bernie Sanders campaign. But Sanders channels that all in a positive direction. He says we need change, a political revolution. Trump has crossed the line from, an undertone of violence to, I think you could only use the word he's used, which is thuggery. And when you add that to the emotions aroused by his racism and his bigotry, he uses the one-arm salute and then tries to pass that off as something innocent and then adopts an air of, aggrieved outrage when people reach the obvious conclusion. You got to hope this subsides as of today, but I don't think it's going to.
Well, voters at least could be sending a message today. That could be a hopeful sign.
And they just might in Ohio. Governor John Kasich looks like he just might pull off the win in his home state that he's been counting on. In Florida, Marco Rubio looks to be done. I mean, he's trailing in the polls very badly in his home state. There's also a lot of early voting in Florida. So even if there's that sort of, last-minute revulsion against Trump, it may come too late. Now, those two are winner-take-all states in the Republican primaries. Ted Cruz could do well in Missouri, maybe in North Carolina. It could be Kasich again in Illinois. So, today's kind of the day for Republicans, that, long-awaited day that party regulars have been praying for so loudly, when the Trump phenomenon finally begins to subside, or it's the day he effectively clinches the nomination.
Democrats, though, are going to be voting in those same five states, but they allocate the delegates differently.
Proportionately, and that is absolutely the key. If the Michigan model applies, you could see, narrow come-from-behind wins for Bernie Sanders in Ohio and Illinois and Missouri. And he would still lose ground if Clinton piles up big wins in North Carolina and Florida. And that's exactly what happened last week, if you think about it. He pulls off this amazing win in Michigan, astounds the pollsters, but basically he splits the delegates there with Clinton and loses ground on the day because she won overwhelmingly in Mississippi. Now, Sanders cannot afford narrow victories anymore. He needs to win big. He needs to win big everywhere if he hopes to catch up. That does not look likely. He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of energy, but he just doesn't have the delegates, and the arithmetic from now on is remorseless.
Okay, for the moment, we're going to leave that one there, but I want to talk to you about Syria, because we've talked about Syria a lot in these past few weeks as that partial ceasefire took effect. This is also the fifth anniversary of the start of the civil war, and just as Vladimir Putin surprised everyone by going into that conflict, he just surprised everybody by pulling out. What do you make of this?
It's interesting. He said yesterday the Russian intervention had achieved its goals, so it was time to go home. And that says a great deal about what his goals were. Clearly, to prop up what was then an exhausted government in Damascus. He's helped to restore President Assad's fortunes, and then he used the ceasefire to lock in some important gains on the battlefield, especially up around Aleppo. He secured an air base to go along with the Russian naval base in Syria. He's keeping that. The intervention looks effective, and from now on he can, you know, play the statesman and call for peace talks. But let's not kid ourselves. This was never about ISIS or about terrorism. This was a short, sharp lesson in the application of military power.
When this started, though, President Obama said that Russia would regret getting dragged into the Syrian quagmire. Not so.
Yeah, no, it sure doesn't look that way at the moment. You know, I guess it could still happen. There's a Russian commitment there. But, you know, Putin sent a message to Damascus, too, that, you know, President Assad does not have a blank check on Moscow's services, that Putin is not going to support Assad's fantasy of reconquering the entire nation, and that this is the time to negotiate from strength. Now, those peace talks don't seem to be getting off the ground, and so whether Assad is going to listen to that message, that's another matter.
Okay, speaking of another matter, I want to talk to you about one. There's another story involving Russia. Reports that a Russian nuclear missile submarine was detected in the Bay of Biscay off the coast of France. Isn't that a little unusual?
That, to put it mildly, that is incredibly unusual. Now, the whole idea of ballistic missile submarines is that they are very hard to detect. They're just out there hiding in the depths of the ocean somewhere. They are the most secure part of the strategic arsenal precisely because they can't be detected. So the French Navy finds a Delta-class Russian boomer. Ballistic missile submarines are always called boomers. They find this boomer in the shallow and restricted waters of the Bay of Biscay. There's absolutely no reason for it to be there. Those missiles have a range of, you know, 5,000 miles. They can target France from the North Pole if they want to. So it can't be an accident. If they got detected, it's because they wanted to be detected. So there must be a message.
Okay, so what would that be?
That message would be that this is, you know, part of a much bigger pattern of Russian assertiveness. Planes probing NATO airspace in Norway and in Britain, fighters buzzing American warships in the Black Sea, the resumption of flights by long-range bombers down the U.S. eastern seaboard. You know, that comes along with Syria and Ukraine and Crimea. The message is that Russia is a superpower. We have, you know, asserted ourselves as a global power that is not afraid to use force, and beyond that, not afraid to brandish its nuclear weapon.
Ah, yes, another cheery note on which to end.
Always leave them laughing, Beth Ann.
Thanks, Neil. News analyst Neil Conan talks with us most Tuesdays from the farm. You can also hear specific news minutes right here on Public Right on Hawaii Public Radio. Talk to you next week, Neil.
Sure thing, Beth Ann.
Just like the white winged dove sings a song, sounds like she's singing. Ooh.